Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to the Toast and happy Thursday, real Thursday, not fake Thursday. Yesterday, fake fucking news. I started the show, happy Thursday, and everybody was like, oh my God, yay. Wait, what? I ruined millions of days yesterday. Today?
Yesterday no. Was a drill. Today is the real thing.
It was a drill.
You got to spin the narrative, Turney. You didn't mess up. You were getting us ready.
Jackie, I'm merely a storyteller, okay?
Spin the narrative. She was getting us ready for Thursday, and now I feel amply prepared and even more excited than it's Thursday than I would have been if I didn't think that yesterday was Thursday.
Oh my God, you're wearing my sweater.
I am wearing your sweater.
It looks great on you.
Because I missed you. The thing about this sweater is I love this sweater. Fendi Skims, great collection, great sweater. I love it in person. It has yet to look good on the show.
Agreed.
The one time I wore it on the show, I was pregnant, but I looked so big.
So the sweater is enormous. I remember when Fendi X Skims dropped, I was panicked on the website. I knew that it was going to be size inclusive. I was like, fuck yes. And I went on the website and I was so panicked and I knew I wanted this cardigan and it was in fucking European sizing, 42. I'm like, what is that? Like, I literally know. I just bought it because I'm like, better too big than too small. It was enormous. Even when I was much heavier, it was still really big on me.
So in person, it's like cute and oversized and cuddly and warm. And my house is just so cold today. But I just know on the show I'm going to regret it. But I had to make a choice. And this is a choice I made and I'm sticking with it.
You're wearing designer items, as am I. I am wearing the pink Toast Crew neck set. This is the last remaining item from our recent drop that's still available on the website. Yeah, that's right. Everything else sold out. And I can't believe this is still available. It's my favorite one. It's this gorgeous sort of millennial pink crew. Very, very subdued. The pants have pockets. They've got an elastic waistband. I'm wearing a size medium. You hookers can never. Shop toastmerch.com.
I feel like every time we do a merch drop, people are like, love this, but can we just get some like branded, yep, regular merch so we can like rock the Toast, like, you know.
Rock the stage at Arrowhead.
Rock the stage at Arrowhead. They're asking for low-key classic Toast, yes, merch, and that's exactly what this set is. So for all of you girlies who have just been wanting to subliminally support the Toast, nothing crazy, but super cute.
Wait, by the way.
This is the set for you.
I need to say this out loud because I will forget to tell you afterwards. For our next merch shop, like seriously write this down. Next merch shop that we do that's like more just like classic logo stuff, it's going to be called the Low-Key Classic Collection, okay? I just thought of that.
Thank you, yeah.
Write that down.
Yeah, that's great.
Love that. We have it written down.
We need to just write down more stuff.
Oh my God, so funny. Yesterday, I was here all day at like 5 p.m. Taylor Strecker came because we recorded her podcast and we had so many funny things we wanted to share. And like we literally just kept going on tangents and like not finishing. I actually got a pen and paper and wrote down the things I wanted to say because like I never would have gotten to it.
No, all the time I'm thinking about stuff that I want to write down or thinking about things that I need, so much so that I'm thinking about getting an Alexa so I could just like talk to someone and be like, Alexa, write that down.
Love.
But I'm like not an Alexa. I don't know if this is going to surprise anyone.
It's
I'm not,
not
an Alexa
going
girl.
To. Why? Because you
it's
think
it's not going to surprise anyone that I don't want a piece of technology in my house whose job it is to listen to me.
I'm not going to lie. I have often felt like Alexa was definitely like a bad faith actor.
Alexa is a bad faith actress.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. However, Alexa, what's the weather? Like, changes my day. Like, it's the greatest thing on the planet.
Or if, like, I'm in the middle of changing a diaper and we're, like, singing a song, I could be like, Alexa, play Wheels on the Bus. That. And all of a sudden, it's busing in here.
Bus. It's Wheels on the Busing.
On the Busing.
Also, if you're cooking and, like, the recipe's, like, 3 1/2 teaspoons and you're like, how many liters is a teaspoon? She's good at math, too. She has her merits.
No, I all the time am yearning for an Alexa. I just have to wait until that yearning gets to be more powerful than my Alexa
skepticisms.
Fears. I'm afraid of her.
Fears. Now, of all the girlies, Siri, Alexa, who do you feel safest with? Because I feel as though Siri is the most useless bitch on the planet. Like, I've never leaned on Siri in a meaningful way, and she's never really been there for me in a meaningful way. Alexa, you know, say what you want about her. She has been there for me countless times.
I do think if I had to choose a bad faith actress in my home, it would be Alexa. And the other one is like Google Home. But that one, she doesn't have personality.
Her
She's
name.
Like, Google Home, can you wipe my ass?
She has like a brand, doesn't have a brand. Like, I don't know her name.
But then you have to think about the people, who, like there. You could go with any of these companies, Apple, Jeff Bezos,
yep, right,
Google. And it's like, who do you want to be in your home with you? And I think of the three, I would go Jeff. Just because Lauren is warming me up to him, I'm not going to lie.
Also, what I like about the Alexa, and I'm about to set off everyone's Alexa, but for a good reason, okay? Alexa, tip my driver. And it'll send a $5 tip to the person who delivered your last Amazon package, like as it should.
That's really nice. They did that around the holidays. And by the way,
sorry, you don't have to pay for it. It's on Amazon's dime.
They did that around the holidays. You could tip your driver.
Thank my driver.
And I feel like they should have that more often. You should be able to do a custom amount if you want to pay for it.
Well, yes, of course. But Amazon's a billion-dollar company. Why should I pay for it?
Yeah, but if you wanted to do more than the $5.
Yeah.
Like maybe you've got a really great driver.
Right.
Goes above and beyond.
Well, I'm always seeing Ring camera footage of drivers going above and beyond.
Above and beyond the call of duty. Like there are people who like, whose kids like love the delivery trucks and they like let them mess around. You know what I mean? Yep. Like above and beyond the call of duty.
Today's such a special day because it finally is Thursday, which is just such a blessing. I can't, you know, I don't want to understate that. But it's also the day after the Love is Blind weddings episode. We both watched it. We are going to do a full recap. Should we save that for the end?
Of course.
So we'll do the Fast Five and then The Lib recap, which honestly, I have so many thoughts and I feel like it's like the name on everybody's lips is Lib, you know?
Yeah, even though the last episode of the season is always just the worst, most boring episode. What's so funny is last night I went to watch with Zach. The couples came on. I was like, okay, time to fast forward. He was like, okay, Claudia. And I was like, oh, that's so funny that you know her so well that like, yes, she would do that. And then this morning I saw your reel.
I maybe watched 35 seconds of the episode. Like,
no, it was honestly perfect for me because we went out to dinner last night.
Ooh.
Yeah. I go out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to start watching until like 10:45 maybe. And it was beautiful because we were done by like 11:20.
I had the longest day. I'm like, ugh, honestly, I don't even really want to watch this piece of shit. I hate these couples. And then I was like, wait a minute. I was asleep by 9:45.
Because all the other Love is Blind days have been three episodes. Like we were going to have to. So when I saw it was just one episode, it's the weddings, which they make a meal out of.
Right. And even when they drop three episodes, you really do want to watch every minute of every episode.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot going on. But this wasn't that. So it was good. A lot that you could fast forward through. But we got the gist and we got our answers.
So we will discuss that at the end of the episode. And before that, we've got the Fast Five. You know, the juicy news of the day. Oh, speaking of news of the day, media darling over here. I don't know if you noticed. Like, I'm wearing eyeliner. I've been up since the crack of dawn. I went to Good Day New York just for like a little, you know, press moment, talk about my new special, Lean In, available on Prime Video in the US and Canada. It was just fabulous. I don't know if you saw, Jax, like you were on TV. They showed some of our clips. They showed our artwork.
I
did see.
I was watching you. What's so crazy is I went to turn it on this morning. I'm like, I don't think I get Good Day New York. Yes. I probably get Good Day Florida.
You do. It's like the classic local news here in New York.
Right, because you're in New York. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can watch my girls. So I went to
You watch it?
I went to the live stream online. It was beautiful, fantastic. I put it up on my computer while I did my makeup. I had a great time.
And?
My girl was fabulous. Slayed per usual. I felt bouncing off the walls with joy and effervescence, bringing everyone into her warm cacophony of love and humor.
Okay, thank you.
Also, I have three words to say.
Let me think.
You're not going to guess.
Okay, what?
I am Kurt.
You are Kurt.
Kurt is me.
Kurt is you. Good luck getting a word in, Kurt. You are Kurt. Pijam Energy, Rosanna's co-host, but it was really like kind of me and Rosanna. I know Rosanna personally for like many years. So we just like really connected.
No, Kurt was giving Jackie O when there's a guest on the show.
Honestly, me and you being like the Kurt and Rosanna of like
of podcasting
when we're 60, like so down.
So down, and I feel like we're always looking for analogous hosts, and we can add those to our repertoire. Like, we are also the Mike and Tony.
Of course.
Of sports.
Are we the Hoda and Jenna?
Like, honestly, like, yeah, you're the Hoda, I'm the Jenna.
Yeah, except that, like, we're really like the Hoda and Kathy. Like, they were the OG partnership.
That's true. And I'm so the Kathy.
Oh, really? I think I'm so the Kathy. In that situation, you're so the Hoda.
Oh, I feel like Hoda is just so personable and bubbly and just like brings everyone into her warm fold. But I don't know Kathy.
Okay, by the way, Kathy's like the drunkard. Like, I'm Kathy. When it's Hoda and Kathy, I'm Kathy, you're Hoda. When it's Hoda and Jenna, I'm Hoda, you're Jenna. Like, literary queen, buttoned up, first lady, you know, energy.
First daughter, yeah. Energy.
You were kind of meant to be first daughter. Like, I could see that for you. Like, and then writing.
I would take it seriously.
And then writing like a memoir about like your time in the house, memoirs from the White House.
Yeah.
I could definitely see that.
But it just depends on like what age you become first daughter. What do you think is the best age to be first daughter?
It's a really like it's probably one of the most important questions you've ever asked me.
Because it's such an interesting position, because it's not like being a royal that you are your whole life and you get to enjoy the perks along the way. Like, I feel like there's so many different stages. Like when you're 8 years old, like when the Obamas were first daughters, they had the Jonas Brothers come to the White House. How fun is that?
Yeah, but I do think like Malia and Sasha were really young and they had 8 years. And I feel like those were like really, really formative years. And you kind of want to be as normal. Like, it's fun. Jonas Brothers, haha. But I
think... No, those aren't the years I would choose. I'm just saying, like, me that's neither. Fun. Okay.
It is, but I think it's too... Those are... Years that are too important to your, like, development.
Agreed. Then you could be, like, the Bush girls who were in their teens, and it's like,
yeah,
we're in the White House, we're sneaking out of the White House.
I'm going Bush girls, because I feel like, in a weird way, as if you're a little bit older and you're a first daughter, you do become, like, a socialite. Yeah. And if you're living in the White House at the time, like, I feel like some people, like, Joe Biden has kids, and they're, like, 30. Like, they don't live in the house. Like,
well, they're older than that, but yeah.
Yeah, like... The
they don't live with their parents.
The Bush, they listen, exactly. Like, they still lived with their parents. And, but they're old enough to, like, become, like, interesting and, like, they're blossoming into young women. And I feel like you get a lot of attention. And that's, like, years where you want attention. I feel like the Bush girls, what were they, like, 16 and 17?
Yeah, probably at one point. That's fun, but that's also the age where you make mistakes. And then you have this huge spotlight on you. And it's like, maybe I want to wait until my frontal lobe is fully formed and I'm 25 and I can...
But then you're not, then you're not like a real first daughter. You're not living in the house.
You're not living in the house. And if you are living with your parents, like, you should, you know, you should look at that.
Work on that. Like, of all the privilege you have, you're living at home.
Like, strive to get out.
So I think I would go the Bush girls in terms of age. I would love to hear from Jenna about it.
I feel like she probably talks about it a lot because she talks a lot for a living.
Yes, and she talks a lot about her family.
Yeah, so maybe she's probably said this somewhere and you just haven't been listening.
Definitely not. Also, she seems well-adjusted.
Extremely, and successful on her own merits.
Right.
Yeah, like when I think of her, I don't think of first daughter first. Like, I think of Reed with Jenna.
That's what you think of first.
Yeah. I know most people probably think Today's Show, but... Yes. Read with Jenna is just more pertinent to my everyday life. Speaking of which, the new episode of The Redheads dropped today. Speaking of which, I actually think our book, The Frozen River by Ariel Lawhin, was a GMA book. Not Read with Jenna, but GMA book club book.
We recently read a book that was a Jenna's choice, and so we were like, oh, it's probably not horrible.
She has solid choices. I would say of the celebrity book clubs, if you were to like say which one has the most winners, I would say Read with Jenna has the best.
That is a very, very hot take. That's a big statement.
It is a big statement, and I really feel that way. Like, anytime we choose a book that's been a Read with Jenna book, I feel really good about it.
Yeah, I don't love Reese's book choices, but I feel like maybe I just don't have similar interests as Reese.
I don't love Reese's book choices, but there's, I feel like there's a lot politically that goes into Reese's book club. Like, there's a lot of things she's trying to do. A lot of different cooks in the kitchen. Like, I think she really always, like, wants to platform, like, new authors, and I feel like sometimes the book itself gets lost in the, like, what she's trying to put behind it.
Yeah, and then also, like, if something catches fire because of Reese, she wants to be the one to monopolize on if it becomes a TV show or a movie, so she needs to make sure she has the rights. The production company, Hello Sunshine, 1,000%.
Yeah, so sometimes the book we're actually reading is not, like, the best book of the month.
Right.
I would say.
I would say that we should dive in because we have lots to do today, and I'm just kind of itching to get to Love is Blind. Tell me about the stories. Describe them in three words.
I don't know if I can stick to three, but I had a thought about the stories this week, which is that every day there's like so many stories and they're all really good. And I feel like today it's like there's five stories that are all really solid, but there's probably five more out there that could have been the five.
Right. They're not like new news making, groundbreaking, but they're titillating.
Yeah. But there's other titillating things out there. So people might be like, why didn't you talk about blah, blah, blah. Like just because we could have if didn't make I woke cut. Up on a different side of the bed. You know what I mean?
1,000%.
So without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by Maidenform, specifically their new collection, M. Get a taste of M, a hot new collection of craveable intimates from Maidenform, a brand with a whole lot of history. They've been around since the very first bras, and now they're bringing you a new kind of classic, the chicest basics you've ever seen. M is a collection from Maidenform. Maidenform is a brand with 100 years of innovation and category leadership. They pretty much wrote the book on bras, and M is the next chapter. I actually slept in this. I don't know if I can call it a bra. It's almost like a crop top with a built-in bra, and it like has this great band that just like sucks me in. I slept in it last night. It is my favorite piece like, of, you know, I'm big into like relaxation bras. I can't just sleep without a bra. I can't walk around my house without a bra. I need support at all times. I love bras with adjustable straps. This one from M by Made in Form is fabulous. You really have to feel this collection to believe it. It's yummy, buttery, soft fabrics that feel way more expensive than they are. It's great style that won't break the bank. Their designs are super on trend. They're made from stretchy, comfy fabrics, and they come in gorgeous colors. M can be worn as innerwear or outerwear, so style it to your taste. Create looks that serve for all or none to see. Yeah, the bra I'm talking about, like, personally, I'm gonna be wearing it under my pajamas, but I could see somebody like more fabulous than me like wearing it with a pair of jeans. Like, it really holds you in, tits up, you know, tits out, nipples up, high alert, aye captain. And it actually would be really cute with jeans, not for me, but for someone else. So get into Made in Form, girlies. Visit madeinform.com and use code TOAST20 at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That's M-A-I-D-E-N-F-O-R-M. Use code TOAST20 for 20% off your first order. Today's episode is also brought to you by Game Time. You should not have to worry about when to buy tickets for your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. Game Time is the only ticket app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy. You'll know exactly what to expect when you arrive. You can get all-in pricing, which shows your total up front, so you know what you're paying, and you're getting a great deal before you check out. You can buy tickets in seconds. It literally takes two taps. They are finding ways to help you save money on tickets, so they have deals right up to the start of the event, even an hour after it starts, so it's truly the place to find last-minute seats. Find exclusive flash deals and sponsor deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. With zone deals, you pick the section and Game Time picks the seats. That's for big time savings. And for the Game Time guarantee, that means you'll always get the best price. And if you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time is going to be out here crediting you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code TOAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account at the Game Time app, redeem our code TOAST, and that will get you $20 off. Download Game Time today. It's last minute tickets, it's the lowest price, and it's, you say it with me, guaranteed. Today's episode is also brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. This year, the easiest healthy habit to start is one for your dog. The Farmer's Dog makes feeding real healthy dog food easy and convenient, and your dog will absolutely love it. It is smart, healthy pet food that you can feel good about feeding your dog, and that's why it's time to quit the kibble, kick the cans, and start fresh. The Farmer's Dog is making and delivering healthy dog food right to your door. It's developed by vets, it's nutritionally balanced, and it's made from real meat and veggies to the safety standards of human food. It is the best option for dogs at all life stages because it is not kibble and it is not canned goo. It is just real healthy food. Traditional dry and wet dog food options are super processed and they can use much lower quality ingredients than they claim to. They also are extremely difficult to portion accurately. The Farmer's Dog is fresh, high quality food, but they're also sending you the food pre-portioned specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. And this makes it easy to help your dog maintain their ideal weight, which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. Dogs at a healthy weight can live up to 2.5 years longer than overweight dogs. A fresh diet has also been found to have all sorts of benefits, from healthier coat, skin, better breath, easier digestion, smaller, better poops. A healthy diet isn't just important for us humans. So it doesn't matter if your dog is young or old, it's always the right time to begin investing in their health. And that means more happy, healthy, and full years together. Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/toast. Plus, you get free shipping when you go to thefarmersdog.com/toast to get 50% off. That's thefarmersdog.com/TOAST, thefarmersdog.com/toast to get that free shipping and 50% off.
Thank you, Turdy.
You're welcome.
Our first story, some Dakota Johnson news, yes. Twofold. One, her and Chris Martin are engaged after obsessed. 6 years of dating with Gwyneth's blessing, reportedly.
Of course.
So Coldplay lead vocalist Chris Martin asked Dakota Johnson for her hand in marriage a while ago. According to the Mirror, they have been besotted with each other from day one, so taking this next step was inevitable, a source said. They are in no rush to plan the wedding, but are just enjoying making their commitment official.
I love them as a couple. I love like the whole co-parenting Gwyneth element of it. I think it's fabulous. I happen to like think Dakota Johnson is one of the most fabulous people on the planet. Like, she's so chic, she's so effortless. She like doesn't even have to work because she's like a nepo baby. She's so gorgeous. Like, she's every red carpet she slays. But I'm so glad you brought her up because I've been meaning to bring this up on the toast.
Okay.
Madam Web?
Yeah, that was the second part of the story. She is in a new movie called Madam Web that is getting just abysmal reviews from the fans. Like, terrible box office numbers.
People are saying it's like one of the worst movies ever made in the history of cinema.
To me, that's like really enticing that I want to see it. Like just to see what sounds that
good.
Means.
Sounds good.
Like sounds interesting.
Yeah.
But she did an interview recently talking about the box office flop and just kind of owning it, saying
but
how no, she...
The weird thing about it is like everybody says this movie's horrible, but people say movies are horrible all the time. But the people in it, including Dakota Johnson, are like doing press just sort of acknowledging that the movie was a piece of shit.
Yeah. So this is what she said to Bustle. It was definitely an experience for me to make that movie. I had never done anything like it before. I probably will never do anything like it again because I don't make sense in that world. And I know that now. But sometimes in this industry, you sign on to something and it's one thing. And then as you're making it, it becomes a completely different thing. And you're like, wait, what? But it was a real learning experience. And of course, it's not nice to be a part of something that's ripped to shreds. But I can't say that I don't understand. She also said, it's so hard to get movies made. And in these big movies that get made, and it's even starting to happen with the little ones, which is what's really freaking me out. Decisions are being made by committees and art does not do well when it's made by committee. Films are made by a filmmaker and a team of artists around them. You cannot make art based on numbers and algorithms. My feeling has been for a long time that audiences are extremely smart and executives have started to believe that they're not. Audiences will always be able to sniff out bullshit. Even if films start to be made with AI, humans aren't going to fucking want to see those.
Madam Web was giving AI.
Yeah, but I think she makes a really good point. Like a lot of times, like people in those rooms, executives, like they think audiences are stupid and they can put out this garbage, but the cream always rises.
So true.
That's how I feel.
I love that. I love Dakota Johnson. Like I just can't, it asked me to say one bad thing about Dakota Johnson.
You can't say one bad thing about Dakota Johnson?
I really can't. I mean, I guess, okay, actually I could, but see, if I talk through it, it'll end up being a positive. Like, not this person who's literally never acted before in her life getting their first role on a billion-dollar franchise, 50 Shades. Sorry, that's slay icon behavior. Like, love that.
Yeah. But do you think she was the right person for that role?
The thing is, I never saw the movies and I didn't read the books. So I didn't know who, like, the girl is supposed to be. So I can't say yes or no.
But something about that movie, like, I think it did well. But something about that movie is wrong.
It should have, like, it should have been bigger than Twilight, like based on the books.
Yeah, I think one, because the two of them didn't have chemistry and I think they actually didn't get along. So maybe one of them should have had to go. I actually think he was totally miscast. Jamie, okay. Whomever. Jordan. Yeah, she was okay. I think I read the first book and I think I saw the first movie. And like I say I think because I know I read the book, but I think I saw the movie. Not memorable.
They're always playing it on E! I've seen like 20 minute chunks of it like in different parts of my life.
Yeah, I just don't think that movie is as iconic as it should have been.
I agree, based on the following, based on, it's literally like Smut. Like, it should have been, Smut is so popular.
The thing is, the movie was huge. I'm sure if we look at how much money it brought in.
Yes, it was a success.
But when you watch it back, it's not amazing. When you watch back Twilight, when you watch back Hunger Games, like those movies are still amazing.
Not only that, but like when you look back on the place it holds in culture, 50 Shades has no place in culture. Like, it's, we've all just moved on. It was a successful movie. Everyone made their monies back. But in terms of, like, the impact, there was none.
And, like, the lore. And there's not people who are, like, making 50 Shades.
Fan fiction. I mean,
maybe there's, like, a handful. But, like, 50 Shades, like, fan edits.
Speaking of fan fiction, did you see the trailer for The Idea of You?
I did.
Anne Hathaway's new movie based on the book by, I think her name is Robin Lee. Literally one of my least favorite books of all time. It was like one of the most disgusting, like predatory, pedophilic books I've ever read. And the trailer gave the same type of energy.
I thought the trailer looked, considering like, it's like, you know, Smut and you said it wasn't even good. I thought the trailer looked like a pretty decently serious movie.
Oh, I completely disagree. I thought Anne Hathaway is far too good for this movie when I saw the trailer.
Oh, for sure. But she made it an Anne Hathaway caliber movie looking like.
I disagree. Like. But I think, like, just out of sheer curiosity, like, I think I have to see this movie.
Yeah, it does. I think it looks better than what the book sounds like, was my opinion.
Did you ever read the book?
No.
It's really gross.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they needed to make a movie of this book, but they, you know, put all of the quality into the movie, it feels like. They gave it everything they have. Big budget, sets, actors, actresses.
I like who they chose for the Harry Styles character, Nicholas. Yeah. He's a hottie. With a body, you know.
Anne Hathaway is an older woman who is believable that, like, this person would fall in love with her, like.
Yes, and the character of, she plays Soleil. Mm-hmm. She's, like, half French. She owns an art gallery. She's extremely chic, very, like, into art and sophisticated and educated, and that's so Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
Yeah, Anne Hathaway was a good casting.
I think they gave it everything they got.
That didn't need to be made into a movie. This is a book we all should have read and been like, why did we read that and never talk about it again, okay? It's shameful.
There are so many books that should be made into movies.
Agreed. And there are so many books that get, you know, the rights bought and then never made into movies, and that's frustrating.
Seven Husbands, The Nightingale, we're still waiting for.
Where the fuck is Seven Husbands?
I don't know. Are you ready for our next story? Some more superhero news.
I'm not ready. Just sorry, one second. The last thing I wanted to say about Dakota Johnson, things I love about her. I was saying so happy for her and Chris Martin, but I think it's important that we not forget the takedown of one Ellen DeGeneres was started by Dakota Johnson. Now, she didn't do anything, just an old clip of hers resurfaced, and it really highlighted how nasty Ellen was.
Yeah.
And, like, low-key emotionally manipulative.
Yeah.
So she started that.
And her fans did.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and then the whole Lyme thing. She has, like, this funny, like, she does interviews, like, random interviews, and she, like, lies about the most random things. So in her Vogue 73 questions, she had this big bowl of limes in her kitchen. And she, like, sniffs it. She's like, I just love limes. Like, they're, like, my absolute favorite. And then, like, years later, she was like, and that clip has gone, like, people were like, this was such a weird thing that Dakota Johnson said in her 73 questions. And she addressed it years later, saying she's actually allergic to limes. They were completely fake. And somebody, like, you know, they staged her apartment for the 73 questions, and she just thought it was so stupid. So she was like, I love limes.
That's funny.
She's funny. She's got personality. She's funny. She's got pizzazz.
Definitely. I feel like if she's with Chris Martin and Gwyneth likes her, like, she's got a good personality.
Agreed. It's a tough group.
Yeah. And she's, you know, bringing something to the table for sure.
Agreed.
By way of personality and intellect.
By way of intellect. I like that.
Speaking of some more superhero news, Gal Gadot gave birth to her fourth child with her husband, Jaren Varsano, following a secret pregnancy. So Gal Gadot is now a mom of four, which I didn't even know that she had been a mom of three. She announced that she and her husband have welcomed their fourth child, a baby girl named Ori, after keeping the pregnancy under wraps. She said, my sweet girl, the pregnancy was not easy and we made it through. She posted a photo from the hospital bed and she said that the baby has brought them so much light and is already living up to her name, which means my light in Hebrew.
Ugh, I'm obsessed with Gal Gadot. And honestly, like, I imagine her, I didn't realize she was pregnant this whole last year. And that means she's been pregnant, like, since October 7th. And, like, people, she's become, like, the face of, like people on the internet. It's just, like, Gal Gadot. Like, they hate.
Yeah.
Hate. She's, like, really a punching bag for people's anti-Semitism. And I imagine that's been extremely trying. And knowing that she's pregnant now, having gone through that, that must have been even more difficult.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like she's the face of, like, probably the most well-known at the moment and vocal Israeli in Hollywood.
I would say Jew also, not even just Israeli.
Yeah, Jew, but there's a lot of Jews. There's not so many Israelis that, like, are that big. No, I also think of, like, Natalie Portman.
Yeah, but I feel like the Israelis and, like, the Zionist movement doesn't claim Natalie Portman.
No,
She's never been a particularly good spokesperson for us.
She's not enough.
No, no. Also, Bar Raffaele, our tax evading queen.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But she's not, like, as
No, she lives in Israel. She lives in Israel.
Right. So it's really Gal.
It's Gal putting the industry on her back.
And who knew that she had four daughters?
I had no idea.
She's actually Superwoman.
I was going to
say. Superwoman.
Wonder Woman. Right?
No, I wasn't saying Wonder Woman. Like, she's a Superwoman. But yeah, she is also Wonder Woman.
I do feel like it's time for me to see Wonder Woman.
You will like it.
I've never seen it.
It's good. I have never saw the sequel.
I need to see it.
I think you should do it. Support our girl.
Right.
That's a fun, like, movie night.
Yeah, Ben loves superhero movies. I've never seen any of them, except, like, I saw Spider-Man.
Maybe you should see this and then Madame Web.
No.
Madame Web.
Apparently people were, like, quoting, like, direct quotes from the script and posting them on Twitter. I was cackling. I guess she, like, has, like, Spidey.
Is she Madame Web?
Yes, Dakota is Madame Web.
It's her movie.
And she weaves a web of sorts. And some of the lines people are quoting, it's like, this web Madame Web weaved was webbed by Madame Web. Like, it's literally, like, brain dead.
I have to see it.
I am intrigued, to say the
least.
Must
watch.
Add it to the list.
And you know what? Probably because everybody dislikes it so much, like, it's giving, I would like it.
That's what I was going to say, like, because it sounds so bad. It sounds like a Hallmark movie, which are horrible, but they're incredible.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a chance.
Hallmark should do like really bad superhero movies. And yeah. Like Matt, this is like, it sounds like Madam Web is like if Hallmark took a stab at Marvel.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
Are you ready for our next story about another strong woman?
No. Who?
We're giving like Women's Month energy.
It is international or national
women's? I think today's International Women's Day, March 7th.
But it's also Women's Month.
Oh, yes. But then there's the day. And I think it's March 7th.
It's not today. It's not today.
So tomorrow?
It's Women's History Month and it's tomorrow.
Okay. So tomorrow Women's we're going to make a... We'll make a big deal of it.
Who would you say is a woman that you want to honor this Women's History Month?
Like for real or for jokes?
For jokes.
Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
I agree.
And for you?
Probably myself. I've been through like an unimaginable amount of things. And look at me, like businesswoman, model.
Stronger than ever.
Stronger and more powerful than ever. So yeah, I'd say me.
Okay. Love that.
Thanks.
But this next strong woman is breaking down in tears in a new clip from a new interview. Gisele Bündchen is sitting down with Robin Roberts, talking, mentioning it all. So there's a new special coming out on Hulu today called Impact X Nightline, Gisele Bündchen, Climbing the Mountain. I don't know what this is in service to, but it's like
what's she promoting?
It's giving like Oprah and Adele. We have Robin and Gisele. Rhymes.
Robin and Gisele from Potomac.
Robin and Gisele are sitting down and having a conversation. And she does ask a question to Tom about Tom Brady. You know, Gisele breaks down, like, can I have a moment? So it feels like that's just like an aside to the interview, not the meat of the interview. She must be doing something that she wants to promote in this long special. But it looks really interesting. I feel like we never hear from her in this sort of format.
We never hear from her specifically in like long form interview. Also, she might be one of the most interesting people in the world. Like,
she really is, because obviously right now Tom and Gisele is top of mind, and they were even showing in the trailer like flashbacks to them at like the Met Gala and all of these red carpets, and like there's no more fabulous people than these two.
No, and like there really were like America's couple, because she was this just like enormous model everywhere, every billboard, every man. And he was obviously like the king of football. So it really was like a match made in yearbook heaven. It was like the cheerleader and the quarterback. And I think we all felt involved in one way. And them breaking up was kind of crazy. And there was like low key like stuff.
Animus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't think
she's
going
to clear it all up right now. I think they probably had to touch on it in order for her to do this interview.
Yeah. And I'm sure she'll keep it moving. And he's the father of her children. So what would she say? But she will be mentioning it. And I also just like want to hear from her on how she's doing, what she's doing.
She's doing her jujitsu instructor.
Yeah, that's what we see. There's a question, you know, would you open your heart again? And she said, I'm living my truth. And
I have.
She's living her truth, though. I can't believe she uses phrases like that. I feel like she would be above phrases like that. She seems like a tough cookie who doesn't like stoop to saying things like "I'm living my truth."
Also, English is not her first language, and only people who speak English talk that stupid. So
you speak too much English.
Yeah, like if you are like fluent in multiple languages, you're obviously a person of high intellect, and you don't say dumb things like that. You're better at explaining yourself. But that's just my truth.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's exciting. I think it's out on Hulu today. And I look forward to seeing clips, because let's get real. Like, I'm not going to sit down and watch the whole thing. No shade to Gisele. Just, I know myself. I have to watch Madam Web.
Who is somebody who would sit down for an hour-long interview with Robin Roberts on Hulu that you would actually watch?
Great question.
Taylor, Luke Combs.
Yeah.
Elon, of course.
Elon,
that's her answer for everything.
What would Elon be doing talking to Robin Roberts? I have to watch.
I don't know. I feel like Robin Roberts is actually a good interviewer. I feel like she doesn't come in with any sort of
she is
agenda.
No shade to Robin. But he's always, you know, going on this podcast or other.
No, and he does it like on Twitter Spaces now, like trying to make that a thing.
Twitter Spaces. Yeah, I won't go to Twitter Spaces though.
Oh, wow. She has, that's she draws where I draw a line.
Yeah.
Fair.
So he might be saying like the most interesting stuff and I'm missing it.
You might.
And that's something I have to live with.
Okay.
And I'm okay with it.
I'm glad.
Are you ready for our next story, which is some new couple news?
Is this 4 or 5?
4.
Yes.
Joshua Jackson is passionately kissing Lupita Nyong'o while celebrating her 41st birthday with a Mexican getaway. So Joshua Jackson and girlfriend Lupita Nyong'o are passionately kissing while celebrating her birthday in Puerto Vallarta. According to the photos, they were seen packing on the PDA during their weekend in the sand.
So, I love Joshua Jackson. Like, he really is just one of those people who has my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I never moved on from him and Diane Keaton. Like, I stayed there, dust collecting round my pin.
He was with Diane Keaton?
No, I'm sorry. No, not Keaton. Kruger, excuse me. From Inglourious Basterds.
Oh.
They were together forever. And I feel like every time we talk about them, I tell the story about how I saw them buying a TV together in Best Buy. And they were so cute making out in the aisles. Like, I stan. When I was in college, the Best Buy on 6th Avenue and 18th Street. And I loved him in The Affair. He's so hot. Like, I love this man. So personally, like, I'm still mourning Diane Kruger / Keaton, you know?
Got it. But then he was in another long relationship.
He had a baby with Jodie.
Jodie Turner-Smith. And now him and Lupita have been together for 3 months, but I must have missed their couple announcement.
I had seen, there wasn't like an announcement. There were reports and then there might have been one photo and then there was silence. So I thought maybe like they had just like went on one date and people got ahead of themselves.
Right, right.
No, this confirms like full-blown relationship.
Full-blown.
Yeah.
He's really like a relationship guy.
No, Jackie, he's kind of like a dream man. Please don't tell me anything bad about him in the comments. Like, I love him. Is he Jewish?
I guess that is a good quality. Like, someone who's looking for serious relationships has seen a lot of them.
Also, I feel like, not to keep going back to Diane Kruger / Keaton, we got no closure. Not only did they break up, like, out of nowhere, he was with Jodie Turner-Smith the next day. Like, it was really kind of like, it was not a good look.
And what's up kind of like red flag behavior.
I know. What's up with Diane Kruger? Like, who does she date?
Let me look. I feel like she'd be the type to be married to like a filmmaker, you know?
Yeah, like an artist. She reminds me of Diana Agron.
Oh, interesting.
Like a grown-up Diana Agron.
Norman Reedus. Happily engaged and parents to a daughter. And he's an actor.
And former model. He made his acting debut in the 90s as Murphy McManus in The Boondock Saints, followed by supporting
roles. Oh, I'm reading the same thing as you. I'm cracking up. He's also in The Walking Dead more recently.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Like, that's what he's obviously
even though
for.
You guys might know him from The Boondock Saints.
And by the way, like, his name sounded so familiar. I'm like, oh, this is, like, a famous person, but I'm not familiar with his work.
Let me look at pictures of that. Norman Reedus.
Yeah, I did. I said it, like, with a familiar tone in my voice. He looks like Dave Grohl, like twins.
Mm-hmm.
He totally has hair plugs. You could tell by the way it's like hair.
Do you approve for her?
No.
Oh. Even though he's famous and successful?
She is so gorgeous, like glamorous. In some of the biggest and best movies of all time, she's so elegant, classy. Oh, I don't know who would be right for her. I love her. And I just love that scene where she chokes a Nazi.
Yeah. What do you think about Joshua and Lupita?
I'm happy for them if this, you know, if they both are happy. I'm kind of like now starting to question, now that I've sat down and analyzed it, like Joshua Jackson, it's like, what's going on?
You mean like relationship jumper?
Yeah, and I was going to say, maybe it seems like he doesn't want to settle down, but he literally had a baby with Jodie Turner-Smith really quickly. I don't know if they were married.
They were married.
Right. So he's obviously not averse to commitment.
Yeah, but like long term, you know, forever.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to forever?
What about us?
What if we just stayed together forever?
What if?
He's not about it.
I don't know. He's definitely has his red flags, I agree. But he's just so handsome.
Yeah. Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Is it the fifth and final story, perchance, that's brought to you by Boll & Branch?
It is.
You know, we love Boll & Branch here at The Toast. Their sheets are made just with the best of the best, the rarest 100% organic cotton. Their signature weave is buttery and it's breathable to start, and it unlocks new levels of softness after every wash. You can feel the difference with their 30-night worry-free guarantee. So the Boll & Branch sheets, Jackie and I have loved and used for years. Actually, just got a new set in my new apartment because I always do just like plain white. But this time I went a little crazy and I went with an off-white. I believe the shade was natural. It looks totally, totally revamped my apartment. Like, I highly recommend. Their sheets are the softest and most luxurious sheets, and they don't use any toxins or harsh chemicals. They use 100% organic cotton. It is rare, and it's traceable from their family farm to your family home. Their sheets have a natural and unmatched softness that gets softer with every single wash. The signature sheets are a bestseller for a reason. They feel incredible on night one, and they continue to feel incredible. They have over 11,000 reviews. They've been loved by millions of sleepers. They have that 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. They come in 13 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and it's really designed to feel incredible for all different types of sleepers, whether you're a hot sleeper or a cold sleeper. It's fabulous. Sleep better at night with the softest sheets from Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your first order when you use promo code TOAST at BollandBranch.com. That's B-O-L-L-A-N-D, Branch, BollandBranch.com. Promo code TOAST. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Today's episode is also brought to you by Stamps.com. After the hype of the new year, we all start to settle into our routines, but for businesses who do a lot of mailing and shipping, we have got to keep it moving. And Stamps.com is here to help because they are the post office elevated. Postage rates just increased again, and luckily Stamps.com is the best discounts in the industry. With rates you can't find anywhere else, like up to 89% off USPS and UPS, Stamps.com will automatically tell you your cheapest and fastest shipping options, so you don't have to navigate all the different carriers. It's pretty much a one-stop shop for all of your shipping and mailing needs, and for 25 years they've been indispensable for over a million businesses, whether they're mailing out checks, invoices, legal docs, books, anything else. You're going to get access to USPS and UPS mailing services that you need to run your business right from your computer anytime, day or night. There's no lines, no post office, no traffic, no waiting. Plus, if you sell products online, you know how fabulous Stamps.com can be because they're going to seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. So it's a stress-free solution for every small business. If you need a package pickup, you can easily schedule it through your Stamps.com dashboard. Keep your mailing and shipping moving at the speed of your business with Stamps.com. You can sign up with our promo code, which is TOAST, T-O-A-S-T, for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, free postage, and I'm not done, a free digital scale. There are no long-term commitments or contracts, but only when you go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code TOAST. That's stamps.com, code TOAST. Today's episode is also brought to you by Thrive Market. Jackie, I know you're obsessed with Thrive Market. Truly your go-to for all of your grocery and household essentials. I know you also just got a big delivery. Tell me more about that.
I love Thrive Market for getting everything for my house. Snacks for me, snacks for kids. Everything is just so healthy. You don't have to like read all the ingredients. You can just trust that like Thrive Market has done the vetting process for you. And if it's on Thrive Market, it's good stuff. They have so many better for you options. I love getting all of my cooking essentials from there. Olive oil, seasonings, sauces, because again, like, you know, it's going to be good quality, good ingredients.
It's got the Thrive Market stamp of approval.
And I take that seriously. Like, that stamp means a lot to me, and you can trust it.
I hear you.
I'm saying you can trust it.
And when you become a Thrive Market member, you're going to save money on every single grocery order, an average of over 30% every time. They even have deals pages that can that change daily, and they always have some of our favorite brands. I love Annie's. I feel like I find so many good Annie's products on Thrive Market. It's also a great way to discover new brands that you might not be familiar with. So join in on the savings with Thrive Market today and get 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. Only when you go to thrivemarket.com/thetoast for that 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. That's T-H-R-I-V-E market.com/thetoast. thrivemarket.com/thetoast. Again, shopping online, saving money on food, cleaning products, things for your kids, pantry essentials. You're going to love it. That's thrivemarket.com/thetoast.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Our fifth and final story is some boxing news because Jake Paul is set to fight Mike Tyson in a live Netflix boxing event. Jake Paul will set is set to fight former heavyweight champion Mike Tyson in a boxing match that will be live streamed on Netflix. It's scheduled to take place on July 20th at the AT&T Stadium in Texas and will be available to all Netflix subscribers. So this is big because it's a big fight for Jake Paul, literally fighting Mike Tyson, which is there a bigger fighter out there? And it's going to be on Netflix, so not the usual pay-per-view experience.
This is super interesting. I feel like this is the first time Netflix has done a live boxing. They've done a few live events. Chris Rock, live comedy, which was crazy. They had the live Love is Blind, which was a mess, reunion. And now they're doing live boxing. I love that, by the way. I do think that that's something they should be doing. Pay-per-view is so old school. Like, the last couple of times, I actually happen to weirdly love these influencer fights. I always watch them because they're always on a Saturday night. It's always like a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
To invite people over, have some drinks. I'm always watching, and I've never not had a problem with like the cable company. I'm always on the phone with the cable. Actually, I don't have cable anymore. I wonder how it's gonna work for me this time.
Just Netflix.
Pay-per-view is so old school. So I kind of love this. I wonder what the money's like, because pay-per-view, say what you want about it, they make hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, so I'm sure they're making a lot of money. And as far as fights that I've heard of, especially for Jake Paul, who his fights have millions of viewers just because of him, like he's fighting Mike Tyson. Like that's a big deal to me.
Yeah, of course. This is like the equivalent of when Logan Paul fought Floyd Mayweather, which was so major.
Right.
And of course he lost because Floyd Mayweather is still in fighting shape, you know?
Yeah.
I do think Jake Paul like actually has a chance only because he's so much younger. And that stands for something, you know? It's who can last the longest.
Yeah, and he is a really good fighter.
Yeah.
I guess it's a win-win for him because if he beats Mike Tyson, oh my God, I beat Mike Tyson. And even if he loses to Mike Tyson, it's like, I fought Mike Tyson.
Yeah, no, and it's so good. I feel like those two especially, I think Logan kind of gave up on it and went to the WWE. After that Floyd Mayweather thing, he like didn't continue with trying to be taken seriously as a boxer. He went to WWE, which is, so it's like fake wrestling, but it's huge. It's like the most global brand. That was actually really smart. He's like the official beverage. I just actually read that they're
Prime.
What is it, like an energy drink?
Yeah.
Just outsold Gatorade.
That's crazy.
Everywhere, I just want to say, I've never seen anybody drinking it. However, I was having this conversation with the Taylors, and Taylor Johnny, he was like, no, my nephews, like young boys, are obsessed with it. Like,
yeah.
It's that Logan Paul fandom. So I actually think...
And Zach Shapiro.
And Zach Shapiro, yes.
I'm on their PR list. Yeah, I'm on the PR list. Oh. And I give it all to him.
Good. I'm so glad he's getting what he wants.
Because I've been breastfeeding, so like I don't need hundreds of milligrams of caffeine. But actually, now I kind of do. So maybe I'll keep it.
So he went like a totally different route. Very businessy. Like he is raking it in from the WWE and from Prime. But Jake really continued with this like serious boxer. And I feel like it's really paid off for him. I take him like seriously as a boxer.
Did you watch his Netflix docuseries?
Untold? No, I should have.
Claudia, you can still watch it. And that will make this fight like way more interesting to you.
Oh, you know what? Maybe I will.
And if I didn't watch it, I wouldn't even like have registered this fight.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I did watch it. And that was the night I went into labor.
Thanks, Jake Paul. Jake Paul has that sort of effect on you. Also, I kind of love this story because I feel like we're always saying things Netflix should do. And they're like always like just doing lame things, like dropping two episodes at a time of a show people finally like. And this is them finally doing something like good, like from a brand strategy point of view. I'm like, oh my God, thank you, duh.
Innovative.
They should have, by the way, yeah. They should have been doing this a while ago.
Yeah, well, live sports is always going to be a big market. And there is this gap because pay-per-view is Stone Age.
Yeah, but it's the same way that like comedy specials are really being kept alive by Netflix. They could do that with wrestling, which really is this like sort of old school, like if they wanted to and they would put on fights and give money to Jake Paul, maybe get Logan to come back, like they should really like have a boxing, like they should work on this because there's a market.
But the argument made in Untold Jake Paul is that like Jake Paul has done that for wrestling.
Oh.
Paul has like injected new life. And
he definitely has. I've never watched a fight in my life.
But I do think that as far as distribution, it could be even bigger. And that's where Netflix comes in. And maybe they had a good working relationship from the documentary. And this is a byproduct of that.
I do want to say, I feel like credit needs to be given where it's due. And Logan was the first brother. So Logan.
That's in the documentary. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like, I feel like he, at least for me, opened me up to wrestling when I never would have watched that in my life.
Yeah, but Jake, boxing, like, whatever just it's called. Totally.
Took it over.
And I think he's, like, really talented, too, you know?
I think so, too.
It's hard work and natural ability.
And, you know, physical stamina. You got to be in good shape. It's a commitment. It's a lot of work.
Determination.
Should we have a fight?
Who would win? Me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, by the way, how much would somebody have to pay us to like do that? Like not that much.
Well, would it be like boxing or like WWE? Like we're kind of like...
No. It's not a choreographed...
We have to like, hit each other?
Yeah, not to the point of like knockout and stuff, but like, yeah.
Like okay. A box. I think...
But Jackie, think about it. Like millions of people are watching and we're making like millions of dollars.
Right. So how much would we have to make?
Like I would do it for $25 million.
I was going to say the same thing. Overall, a $50 million deal. Yeah.
Yeah. For one night. And we'd agree to go easy on each other, but we'd have to be like...
No, we'd have to actually fight. And I'm not... I don't want to, you know, knock you out, but I'm not going to hold back punches.
Okay. So somebody, Jake Paul, reach out. We'll do it. I'll do it. I don't give a fuck. I'll do it.
Yeah, I feel like every time we talk about the Paul brothers fighting, like we make it about ourselves fighting.
Really? I feel like this is a brand new conversation. I have no memory of ever having this combo. But again, take that with a grain of salt.
Because I think we once said like Jake and Logan should fight each other. Free idea.
They should.
They should. Have they?
No.
So then also there will be other fighters like on the bill, like
of course
openers and such.
Who?
They haven't programmed it yet. I'm hoping for Tommy Fury. Available. And I'm hoping for Tommy Fury.
We're available.
And then we can meet Molly.
We're available. Did you see Molly got her hair done by Chris Appleton?
I did. She had fake
bangs. He gave her like a full hair makeover and she looked so good.
It was fake.
But not the hair color.
No, but the... No.
Bangs. Was the whole thing fake?
Yeah.
Wait, what? She looked so good.
Because she's been posting like regular Molly. It was a wig.
Oh my God, how lame is that?
Sorry to disappoint.
Okay. Moving on to the Lib recap.
Moving on to the Lib recap. Love is Blind, weddings last night.
This will contain spoilers, so log off if you're a pain in the ass.
So, three major moments from last night. First, the conversation between Chelsea and Jimmy ending their relationship.
Yeah. And a lot of people are like mad at Jimmy.
Who could be mad at Jimmy? The only reason I'm like confused is because like he had the opportunity to break up with her after, like during or right after that fight, and he was sucked back in. So then, But I do feel like he intended to break up with her after the fight, and she kind of convinced him not to, but then he got back on his own again. I was like, no, like we actually have to break up. Like we cannot be together.
Control Z.
Citral Z.
That people are like, oh, he's so mean. He said he wanted to marry her and then he didn't. You know what really would have been mean? What Clay did, like literally making her get all dressed up to tell her no in front of her friends and family. Like, that's the kinder thing to do. So how anyone can really be mad, like these two were so, and she was just awful. Like even during the breakup, she was awful. Like, sorry, and this is going to be such a hot take because everybody's like, Clay's a dick. Jimmy's a dick. Sorry, you are allowed to break up with someone.
No, and you are allowed to say no at the end of this process. Like it's not the real world.
And you're allowed to wait until the weddings to say no. That's what you're supposed to do.
It's not the real world. There are a certain set of rules in this show. I don't know how Jimmy evaded them, maybe because his relationship gave the season the biggest and funniest and craziest storylines. And they were like, okay, you've done your part. But for everyone else, you have to wait, unless you're going to break up really early in the season. Like you have to wait till the altar. Like it's not necessarily how you would do things, but those are the rules that we're playing by. So it doesn't bother me that he didn't like take her aside. And we'll talk about Clay and AD, but first I want to talk about Chelsea and Jimmy. And I don't even compare Jimmy to Clay.
No, me neither. But they both said no. And like, I feel like a lot of people watching this show, like, get so mad at them. Like, you are allowed to not be in love with someone. Like, it's not a crime.
My issue with Clay is that there was no one that he was going to meet, no perfect enough relationship that was going to get him to say yes in this time period because he wasn't ready. And in that situation, like, you shouldn't even go on the show if you're not really looking to get married in 4 weeks.
I mean, he had the TikTok logo on his vision board for this year. And I feel like that told me everything I needed to know about him.
To me, that's his crime. You weren't ready to go on the show. Like, now you're going to start therapy? No, you need to come on whole and really hoping and wanting to be married at the end of the process.
And I have to say, AD saying yes was desperate to me.
I really didn't think she was going to say yes. I don't know why.
Of course not. By the way, Jackie, first of all, they've been engaged. He hasn't been sleeping at the house. All he does is work. He's very clearly like said 500 times he's really struggling with monogamy. Like he really doesn't want to cheat on her. Why the fuck did she say yes?
Do you think that maybe I can't even put myself in their shoes, but do you think that maybe she knew he was going to say no? And so it's better to, like, just for the fans and everything, yeah, like, to look like the victim and, like, there we have a story as opposed to two people who are both like, no.
I would appreciate the realness more. So I...
Yeah, that was, well, I feel like the whole time
I was shocked when she said I do.
The whole time I did feel like she was like,
you do?
The whole time I really didn't feel like she was going to say yes. But then when she did, I feel like that is the moment where, like, whatever lies you've been telling yourself this entire time, like, they end. You're not
because
really,
of course it's so real. It's a legal ceremony.
Right, you're not, like, really going to, like, marry this stranger. Because you've made it to the end of the episodes. You have accomplished your goals.
You're on TV. You're on TV.
Now this is your real fucking life.
Like, yes.
You're not.
Like, run.
The lies end here.
It's so true. It's like, boom. Cameras are off. Like, let's be real with one another.
Yeah. Like, this is your real life. So when she said yes, I was like, oh, have I been misreading this the entire time? It would have been,
and you know,
like,
what?
If Jimmy said yes at the altar.
You know what it reminded me of? Because I've been on such a journey with AD, and I remember in the pods in the first few episodes, I thought she was so insincere and so almost just, like, desperate to get a match. Not because she's desperate for love, but because she wanted to be on the show.
Yeah.
And then throughout this process, I actually felt like she was really giving her real heart and very genuine. And the second she said yes to somebody she so clearly should have said no to, and she's not a dumb person. She's, like, a smart, successful woman. It reminded me of the AD I met in the pods and my first instinct on her, which was like, oh, she's not serious.
I agree. In the pods, I thought she wasn't super serious, like, wanted to be engaged. But then I thought when she met Clay that they were really good match at certain points. And, like, I think they were both so happy with each other. Like, couldn't have asked for more from this process. Like, they're both incredibly good looking and, like, they were having fun together. But then their real lives don't mesh. Just, you know, everyday habits and routines. Like, they're not a great match for each other. And... yeah, that's why I fast forward through all the stuff before the wedding.
Of course.
Because, like, everything they say in that moment, it's like lies, lies, lies.
It's true, because you don't really know their absolute truth until, do you?
That's how I felt. You know who, like, turned me off to all of it? Like, throwback? Deep D.
I literally knew you were going to say
that. Oh, I'm glad that you agree, because the way, like, you think she's, like, hopelessly in love with this guy who's, like, not being serious enough and, like, but she wants to make it work.
He's a dick.
And, like, she wants a serious relationship, and all of her wedding confessionals, like, talking about their relationship, and then just, like, turned on him at the altar, which she should have done because he was not a great guy. But it's like...
No, but everything leading up to the weddings is a lie.
But it's like, you turned on... You lied to us, the viewers, in every confessional.
The second the bride or groom, you see their foot step out of the car and enter the venue, like, in their morning clothes, I skip until, because you know what? It's all fake. It's a lie. Literally everything they say, you watch it. You're like, how would these people not get married? They say, this is my person. I feel so myself. I've never been this happy in my life. It's crying with their parents, sending them letters. And then I don't. Literally, it's defies logic.
It's giving irrelevant, and they should actually just, for the sake of the show, take all of that out. These people aren't actors either. It's not fair to them to make them lie.
Agreed. And no, and then everybody was like, that conversation between Clay's parents was so moving. And I was like, what conversation?
Okay, for some reason.
Skipped.
For
skipped.
Some reason, I didn't skip that. I just had landed there. And I actually, like, I didn't find it so moving. I just felt that that woman is a queen.
Yeah, like his mom.
And the one hand, she was being, like, so forgiving and gracious. And on the other hand, but being like, but don't forget what you did. And also, like, this process had brought out even, like, more information. Like, he always knew that she knew that he had been cheating on her, but, like, there was even more. He was taking the kid on the cheat trips. Like, she was hurt in this process too.
Jesus. And, like, and Clay wasn't even ready to go on the show, so he caused all this harm with his family. For what?
Yeah.
And by the way, then that's the other thing, because Clay said, I think it would be irresponsible for me to get married. Very reasonable thing to say. But he didn't say, I don't love you and I don't want to see you anymore. And she was just basically like, I can't date someone who wouldn't choose me. And that happens a lot with this show.
Well,
where
they had,
like,
this conversation in another episode. And he said, like, why can't we just date? Like, why do we have to be on this timeline of getting married? And she said, if you do not marry me, like, I'm not dating you afterwards. What do you think about that?
I don't know if she felt that way or if she's been told to say that, because if everybody was able to get away with that, then they would all say no and just continue dating, and it wouldn't be a marriage show, it would be a dating show. So I think it's very high stakes. I don't know what's in your contract, but I think it's very high stakes to, like, say no and then continue to date
But
them.
A lot of people who say no, they don't continue to date.
No, they
We've
don't.
We've never really seen anyone continue to date. And so I kind of understand being like, no, I think she said 10 toes in on this. And I'm going through the whole process as it's meant to be. I also think the people who go on the show are usually older who really want to be married. So it's like, if we're not getting, we found each other. If we're not getting married today, why would we be getting married in a year from now? I see both sides. Obviously, rationally, it's like, let's just date. I like you. You like me.
Yeah.
But it's like,
I think that's a flaw in the show.
It's about a commitment though.
Yeah.
And it's about a leap of faith. And being like, maybe we don't have everything worked out, but you are the right person for me. And we want all of the same things. And I want those things. So let's start now.
Well, two people who did take a leap of faith, Johnny and Amy, perhaps two of my least favorite people. Actually, not even two, just one. Johnny, probably my least favorite person to ever grace any reality TV show ever.
Yeah. I feel like they're going to show up at the reunion pregnant.
Pregnant. Triplets. Imagine. No, I'm sorry. Once again, I stayed there, dust collecting round my pinned up hair. They moved on. He's so sweet to her brother. There's so many great things. I'm still with the condoms. I'll never get over it. You shouldn't either.
Yeah. Did you think they were going to get married?
No.
When I was watching,
I thought she was lying the whole time. Every time they showed her on camera, I'm like, this bitch is lying.
Oh my God.
But I was wrong.
When I watched the bit of their wedding footage, like before they got to the answers, I was feeling it.
Yeah, of course. She was so emotional with her brother and her dad. Oh my God, it was beautiful. I stopped fast forwarding the second I saw her at the end of the aisle. Like that's where I started. It was beautiful. And I actually happen to really like her. When I talk like shit about them, I'm actually only talking about him.
Of course. There's literally nothing not to like about her.
I could see him being one of these crazy husbands, like who controls what their wives eats and like doesn't let her leave the house. I'm being dead serious. He gives me so the willies.
Yeah, but I just feel like she's stronger than you think.
Wait, do you remember that couple? Hold on. I just like had a memory. From, I think it was the last episode, the girl was a toaster.
The last episode?
The last season.
Two seasons ago. We didn't watch last season.
Oh, so what was that season four?
So that was like Chelsea and Kwame and...
Was that season? No, maybe it was the one before. Hold on.
And then there was one with Bartiste. Really, I didn't watch that.
Oh, wait. Was that Bartiste's season?
Then there was one with like Shane and Deep D and Natalie. Fuck.
I think they're still married. Hold on.
It's a toaster.
It's bothering me a lot. Yeah, she was like in Facebook group. Oh, Colleen and Matt. Do you remember?
I think that's the Bartiste season I didn't watch.
He was so nutty. Like he really gave like kind of scary energy sometimes. And then I think they ended up getting married. Hold on. They said yes. They are still married at the reunion. After almost 2 years of marriage, they moved in together. I need to look at their Instagram. I forgot about her. He was so fucking crazy. And everybody was like kind of worried about her. But then they like, you know, everybody moved on. Yeah, wait, hold on. Does she have any pictures with her husband? Oh, yes, they're still married. Oh my God. He was so crazy, Jackie. Like,
well, you have to remember two things. One, it's a TV show. Things are edited to be a little more dramatic than they might be. And two, there's a lid for every pot.
Honestly, like I forgot about this girl. She's like so pretty and cute looking. She looks like a good person to follow on Instagram for like style inspo.
Send me her page.
I will. Does anybody remember what I'm talking about?
I'm sure they do. I did not watch that season.
Got it. It was a good season. Okay, I just sent it to you. So yeah, they said yes. Can't wait to catch up with them at the reunion. I hope Netflix does not do this moronic live reunion again. Like,
there's
please.
No way they're going to. That was please. A disaster.
For everyone. Nobody had a lower Q score on the planet than Vanessa Lachey. Like, it was not really bad for everyone.
The tech issues?
Of course. No, I'm saying
it's
bad for everyone.
We all waited like an hour and then they just had to film it and then post it. It wasn't even live.
We didn't even wait an hour. We waited 24.
Right, because they just, like, we were all sitting there. They kept being like, it's about to start. We were all, like, checking the Lachey's Instagram. And then they were like, okay, we can't get our shit together. We're just recording it and then it will post it.
Yikes.
There's no way they're doing that again.
Please, no. Even though they're obviously getting into live, like...
In sports. Live sports is good.
Yeah.
Live reunion, not so good. Also, by people who are not entertainers, who are not concise...
Professionals.
And they need editing.
Yeah. I felt like because there's obviously, like, somewhat of a time limit with a live show, you don't get to everything. And no. with, like, a pre-recorded, edited moment, you can cover all your bases and cut out anything that's boring.
And people either feel pressure to answer quickly or they're taking up too much time with their answer, and both things are bad.
Yeah.
So, no lies, please.
Have we ever had a couple who got married and by the time the reunion rolled around, they were divorced?
No, but I also think the reunions are... No, they're not new. There's been reunions the whole time.
And they're always filmed really close to the air date because they want to get like the most up-to-date.
I feel like this reunion was filmed last week. Maybe when they were all in LA.
Me too.
Also, I saw that people are saying that Jess and Harry Jowsey pictures are old from this summer.
I saw somebody say that too, but I don't know if that's true. We could look it up.
No, but like, why are they just, I don't know.
Why would they just be coming out now?
Well, because we didn't know who she was this summer.
They're from last year. But, TMZ said pics were taken months ago, but this article was written yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Here's the deal. Nobody knew who this woman was until the latest season of Love is Blind, in which she stars, which is why the photos of Jessica and Harry cuddling up in Mexico from this past September completely flew under the radar.
Oh, I kind of, like, love that. Maybe they're no longer together and they had their fun, and now she can, you know, butterfly fly away. How did they meet?
Netflix HQ.
Netflix HQ.
She was probably there for a meeting. He does like a lot of the social content Netflix, for Netflix.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Maybe they had him hosting something.
Maybe like, they were like in the lobby, each getting a coffee.
Sounds like a movie we'd watch on Netflix.
On Hallmark.
Yeah. So this has been such a blast. And the reunion is next week. We will, of course, be recapping it. Mm-hmm. And that's our show. A nice long one.
They always are. But if it wasn't long enough and you need more swirly content, The Redheads is out now. And it's a really funny episode about a great book. I'll say that.
That's all she'll say.
It was just an interesting, what was so shocking. I don't want to spoil the episode, but it's real historical fiction, 1700s, about a midwife in Maine. Like, it sounds dreadful, right?
Horrible.
Snitch liked it.
But Snitch is growing up.
And it's beautiful, but it's hard, as her big sisters.
I mean, what makes you feel older than that?
Than Snitch liking a book about a midwife.
From the 17th. I've never read a historical fiction book in earlier than the 1900s.
It was like post-Revolutionary War vibes, like getting the country, you know, assembled, like land.
Oh, I'm ancient.
Paul Revere is mentioned, Thomas Paine, and three words, Snitch liked it.
That she did.
That's the spooky, haunting words.
And with those spooky, haunting words, we will leave you. Thank you so much for listening to the Toast of the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We are also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us at Toast of the 5 Star, be about a beautiful, stunning, and wiggly talented we are.
Love ya. Bye.